Father, I thank you, as always, when we come together, that light comes, strikes that seed in our hearts, coming straight from your word. Glory to God. It brings understanding to our hearts. So let it be here this morning, in Jesus' name, and afternoon, and whomsoever will join us here, let them come and receive of this water of life freely. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm fired up this morning. I am excited. I hope you are fired up and ready to go. Our subject today, the dynamic duo. That's right. Faith and praise. That's right. It's a dynamic duo. It's a combination like none other. Faith and praise. I want to engage you in a little exercise this morning. I mean, I've been going and teaching and doing all kinds of things in this room, you know, so let me engage you in a little exercise. Here's what I want you to do. I am going to ask you, those of you who were here when I taught it, if you remember it, post it in the chat room. Now, don't look at somebody else's posting. You got to do your own posting. So I am going to just challenge you. It's a test, you know. So my faith specs, S-P-E-C, what does that acronym refer to the way I taught it? Because I'm going to bring it in this morning, and then I'm going to bring in the praise. And when we get those two things together, oh my goodness, a dynamo of spiritual power. We're ready to walk on some hot stones of fire here this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So what does that represent? The faith specs, the way I taught it here on this platform many times, you know, so it's an acronym. And if you remember, post also where the scripture is that we use as a reference for that. Yeah. So this is a little exercise for you to get engaged here this morning. So, yeah, let me see what you remember. Faith specs. What does that S-P-E-C stand for? The way I taught it here on this platform. I'm waiting to see what you guys will post. All right. While you are thinking of it, the lesson today is going to be on faith and praise. And I've titled this actually the Holy Spirit titled it a dynamic duo. When you get the faith working and then you kick it into gear with praise, it's like turbo boosting your faith. Now, faith by itself is powerful. You know, in fact, the scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God. I mean, you know, the word impossible is not used with God in too many scriptures. That's one place. Other places where it's used, it's impossible for God to lie. There shall be nothing impossible with God. You know, just a few places where the word impossible is used in the same sentence with God. Now, in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible to please God. So, you know, I mean, right away, you see how powerful faith would be. And Jesus also said in Luke 18 and 8, you know, when he was talking about keep on praying and don't give up and don't give in because the Lord is going to answer you speedily. And he turned around and said, well, nevertheless, when the Son of Man eventually comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And the way I translate that, you know, is when the Lord shows up for your situation, will you still be at the point of faith? That's right. Or would you have given up? So you see that all of the things that Jesus could ask to find when he comes, he chose faith. He could ask for this, he could ask for that, it could be this, it could be that, but he asked for faith. Will I find faith in you when I come? Well, you can think of that as when he comes in the translation to take the church away in what we call the rapture. But I call it every time he would show up for your circumstance, the thing that you've been believing God for, when he eventually shows up, because that's the what he was talking about in that text concerning your prayer, and that you should not give up. So when he eventually shows up, will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have packed it in and given it up? You know, so we see how powerful faith is. Now, let me see what people did put in the chat room. You know, Hebrews 11:13. You got that right, Brother Kolapo. Sister Mary also. Y'all got it right. Thank you for posting. What about the rest of you? Where are you at? Are you sleeping? Wake up, folks. I asked for you to post what my faith specs acronym means. I've been teaching these things for a long time. You know, so, you know, I'm going to read it to you again today, because this lesson today is focused on faith and praise, the two of them being a dynamic duo, the kind that creates a dynamo of spiritual power. That's right. Get these things, two things working for you. You know, all things shall be possible unto you. Glory to God. Now, in Hebrews 11:13, and thank you those that posted it and got it right, this scripture bears out an incredible principle which I've taught over and over in this room. In case you're new and you missed the lessons where I taught it, let me speak it to you again today. And pay attention. There is an acronym that is hidden inside Hebrews 11:13. And I love to use acronyms. There are four letters that I will pick out of Hebrews 11:13. S, P, E, and C. Now, S, he said, look, we're talking about all these heroes of faith and all the things they went through and so forth. And even how, you know, they were looking for a promise, you know, that God gave them, but they couldn't quite get there, but they were looking anyway. And so here is how he bears it out in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, remember at the end of that chapter, he said, look, God left something in place for us that these people without us should not be made perfect. So they didn't quite get there. You know, now they all died in faith, not having received the promises. But what did they do? But having seen them afar off. So that's the S. You know, even when you haven't seen or received the promise quite yet, you can see it ahead. Well, I call it search for a promise in the Bible. You got to find a promise. Don't even start to pray about anything unless you can find the promise, a promise that supports that request. Now, there's a plethora of promises in this Bible all over the place. Literally hundreds, perhaps even thousands of promises. Dozens of many, any subject that you want. So take a little bit of time. Do your homework. Find a promise. And then hold God to it. Now, so that's the first step. S is to seek out a promise in the Word of God. Find the place where God says something specific about the thing that you are praying for. That's number one. Number two, they were persuaded of the promises. So the next thing is for you to be persuaded of the promise. Now, what does persuaded mean? Well, it means that you know that God who promised is not a man that he should lie, and that he is able to do it. We're told in the book of Romans, you know, chapter 4 concerning Abraham, that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, you know, and he was persuaded. That's Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. All right, I hope we are taking note of these scriptures. They are a part of this lesson. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, and being fully persuaded. So that's the P for the persuaded. He was persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So you got to be persuaded. And then Hebrews 11:13 went on to say, when they saw the promise afar off, they were persuaded and they embraced them. So that's the E for the embrace. Now, see the promise in the scriptures. Be persuaded that God's able to do it. Then embrace it for the particular situation. So let me explain the difference between the persuaded and the embraced. Persuaded, most people believe that God can do, most believers, that is, believe that God can do anything. Otherwise, they would not be believers. They believe it. They know that God is able to do all things. We've read it in the scriptures. You've heard it many times. And it's just in our subconscious that God can do all things. We know that. But embracing it is a little bit different. It means you engage that promise in the particular situation that you are in. Most people know that God can raise the dead. Most people, even unbelievers, some of them know that God can do that. But should a dead person happen in their community, family, or whatever, will they embrace that persuasion for that particular situation? Well, that's a big question. You know, so when Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, he was speaking to Martha. You know, Martha was not quite embracing what she knew about the Lord for that situation because she was already discouraged. My brother is now 4 days in the grave. You could have come when we sent you, and now he's dead and buried and he's stinking by now. And when Jesus said, "My brother shall rise again," well, she said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection." You know, so she knows about the power of God to raise the dead in the resurrection. God will raise the dead. She knows that. But is he going to raise this your brother that is in the grave that's been there now for 4 days? Well, that's the embrace part. See, she was persuaded. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. Jesus had to bring her back to now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. I am that resurrection that you are talking about. I am. And I'm standing right here. I'm the resurrection and the life. And then he asked her a profound question. You know, he that, you know, is dead and believed in me will rise again. And he that liveth and believeth shall never die. Do you believe this? And she rattled on and everything else. But, you know, the mercy of God, God wanting to show his disciples, I mean, Jesus wanting to show them that, look, even somebody's in the grave, it's no match for the Son of God. So he allowed that situation to get that bad so that he could show them that. So for your sakes, I'm glad that I wasn't there to the end that you may believe. You know, so the mercy of God went through. But she wasn't embracing, although for a moment she did. She said, well, okay, I know that my brother is thinking and so forth, but nevertheless, if you had to ask God anything, I know he will hear you. For a moment, she embraced. But, you know, for the most part, you know, her mind was going someplace else. So that's the difference between the embrace. And then the next thing they did after they embraced her, back to Hebrews 11:13, was they confessed. They were looking for a city and they confessed that, look, we're right now here, only as strangers and pilgrims. We're going to a place that's better. You know, so that's the last step of the spec. That's my faith specs. You know, then you got to confess it. Hallelujah. Confess it. According to the book of Romans, chapter 10, we're told that in your heart, you would believe, you know, unto righteousness, but with your mouth you will make confession unto salvation. You know, you can read that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. With the heart you believe, and with your mouth you gain the thing. So our mouth is so powerful. We've talked about that all the time in this room. You know, Numbers 14 and 28. I will do unto you as you have spoken in my ears. We've talked about that from, you know, Psalm 103 verse 20. I talk about it all the time. When you give voice to God's word, then the angels will move on your behalf. Not really on your behalf. They move on the behalf of the word of God. Angels only obey God's word. Not obey anybody else. You can't really command angels. All you need to do is speak his word. When you speak God's word, these angels are hearkening, according to Psalm 103:20, and they will move into action. So that's the speak faith specs. That's all I'm going to say about faith today. If you can get a hold of this, and I don't know why many of you did not remember, I've said it many times, but listen, this is not something you must forget. You must practice this every day. This is how you get a 100% fulfillment on your requests. Number one, you make sure it is what God already promised. See, now, if God didn't promise it, according to Lamentation 3 and 37, if God didn't promise it, well, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. Most of the time, you may not get it because God didn't promise it, and he's not confined to, I mean, it's not required that he should do it because he never did promise it. You know, that's what he said. Who is he that saith and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So that's why you have to first of all go find the thing that God has already commanded and already said. So the shortest path from where you are to where you want to be for the answer to your prayer is a straight path. And it starts with the promise, the word of promise. That's right. So always make sure God already said it. Now, if it is something that God already said, the quickest way to get our prayers answered is to repeat what God already said. He already said it anyway, you know. So instead of me trying to make up something which God may have said or not said, why don't I spend time and find what he already said about the matter? And then repeat to him what he said. So that's it. So that's the lesson about that. And then you are persuaded that God is not a man that he should lie. It's not a son of man that he should repent. You know, he will make good with his word. The book of Isaiah chapter 55 tells us that, look, my word that goes out of my mouth, glory to God, it will not fall to the ground for nothing. It will prosper in the reason where I mean, in the thing where I sent it, and it accomplish, you know, that which I please. So that's how you know that the word of God will never fail. That's right. He talked about it in verses 10 to 11 of Isaiah 55. When the rain comes down from heaven, it doesn't go back up. Well, you know, and so forth. You know, so he said, well, the same way, when my word goes out of my mouth, it will not return unto me void, but it must accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, when you know these things, and you are sure your heart of them, this is how faith works. Now, these are the essentials. When I taught these topics, I taught them under essentials of faith. I also taught them under the principles of the oracles of God. You know, these are the essentials of faith, the anatomy of faith. We break faith down to what it looks like. You know, praise the Lord. Now, Paul called himself a professional. You know, he said, look, a profession of your faith and so forth. And you know, there are professionals. I'm a professional on my job. In my technology area, I'm what they call an SME, subject matter expert. I'm not a subject matter expert in everything, but in certain things I am. And I developed myself over the years. in those things. And I thought that when we did lessons on wisdom, when I taught on prudence, you know, and so forth, develop yourself, I taught on these things. You know, so, you know, not be a subject matter expert. Well, by the grace of God, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I do not frustrate the grace of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not about me, but you can become a subject matter expert in faith. That's right. When you know how it works, a subject matter expert always gets it right. Always gets it right. It's not a guesswork. They know exactly. One time I said, know where to put the X. You know, there's a complicated problem on the board. You step up and you just X marks the spot. You just mark the spot and you walk away. That's it. Because you know exactly what you're doing. You know, and other people will say, why? You know, because you know. So you can become a subject matter expert on the subject of faith by following these principles that I laid out today. And that's why I call it faith specs or specification for faith. That's how it works. Now, that's faith. Now, let's talk about praise. Glory to God. Now, praise is the second, but not necessarily the lesser, of this dynamic duo. It's faith and praise. Praise is not any lesser, but, you know, they work hand in hand. It's a tag team. You know, one is not higher than the other. And sometimes, you know, you got to put your best foot forward. And that sometimes that's praise. We see in the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. I've spoken about it multiple times on this platform, even as recently as a couple of days ago, you know, maybe even yesterday, you know, how he put the praises ahead of the battle. You know, sometimes you got to do that. But I want to read to you, I said it yesterday that I might read this some next time. Today is that next time. Some of you may know this writing from Neil Frisbee that we call scroll number 70. I've read it here and there, some portions of it on this platform and our other scroll room sometimes. But I want to read to you, this is perhaps his most significant writing. Now, you say, who was this Neil Frisbee? Nobody other than a man of God. You know, so I'm not here preaching him. But he was my pastor for many years, and I learned many things from him. We're here preaching Christ. But he wrote many things. He even wrote many prophetic things. Some of his writings are happening right now in California, unfortunately. Talk about the floods and so forth that's going to come through California and so on. It's leading up to a series of things. You know, some of us are watching the news. We're watching those things, you know, because Jesus himself said, lo, I have told you before. When you begin to see these things, some signs lead to other signs. So there are some signs that are leading to other signs. And then it helps us to know that the understanding of the times and seasons, you know, like the, you know, sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the signs and the seasons. And by that, they had an advantage over their brethren. You know, so I'm not going to get into that. But he wrote this thing, we call it scroll number 70, and he called it the dynamic subject of praise. And I have never read anything quite like this. I've done a lot of reading in my time. But this thing carries the anointing like was on the Psalms. It was powerful stuff. This one singular scroll, he called it scrolls, you know, that he put out. This one singular scroll, you know, is so power-packed on the subject of praise. I've never seen anything like it on the subject of praise. So I will read through most of it for you today. If you've never heard of him, never mind about that. That doesn't matter. Just listen to this. And some of you that have heard of him, I'm sure you will enjoy this. But listen to this as we read through it. Now, we're talking on the second piece of this dynamic duo, which is praise. Before I read this, look around in the Bible and see the things that praise has done for people. You already know 2 Chronicles, 20, you already know the story there, What about the story in Acts chapter 16? When Paul and Silas were cast into prison after Paul cast out that, divination spirit from that young lady that kept following them and so forth. And what happened when they were in prison? Well, the Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises, and even the prisoners heard them. They were not silent and they were not complaining to God. They sang praises. And those praises, I guarantee you, broke those bars in the prison. Their praising the Lord began to cause the place to shake. The angel of the Lord came, glory to God, busted them out of prison. You can read Acts chapter 16 and read from about verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Hallelujah. Unto God. And the next thing you know, all the prisoners were hearing them. They were not just singing in their minds. They were singing loud. The next thing you know, there was a great earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaking. And immediately, all the doors and the gates were broken. And all the bands of the people were losing. Not just Paul and Silas's bands, but everybody with them in that prison. Whether they were in the prison for wrong reasons or for right reasons, whether they were guilty or innocent, all of them that had bonds, chains on their hands, threw the prison of two people, got their hands and shackles free. Can you just imagine? Just picture that. There are criminals in that place with Paul and Silas. We know that Paul and Silas were there because they did a good work. And those people that lost their trade because they cast out that divination spirit, conspired to get them thrown into prison. All right. So they are there for the gospel. But there might be other prisoners there that are there for crimes that they committed. Nevertheless, everyone's chains were loosed by the praises of these people. Now, so you can see how powerful praising the Lord is. Now, I've told you stories of Hezekiah, how Hezekiah, when Sennacherib, came to, to just tank them down. It's like, look, I'm going to shame you here. I'm going to disgrace you. I'm going to tell you what we did to all those kings of the nations and so forth. I don't think that Hezekiah is going to save you. This same Hezekiah is the one that burnt down the high places. And do you even think that God, I came here without God? God sent me here. And he told them all kinds of lies. And he just tried to oppress them, tried to intimidate them. He tried to do everything possible, And he said, look, what I will do to this place, I will level this place. Look, but he said to Hezekiah, look, I'm going to give you 2,000 horses if you on your part can set riders on there. And I'll do all this. And they just said all kinds of things. Look, we've wasted the nations. We've done all these things, and so forth, So you can read that story, in Isaiah 36 and then also read Isaiah 37. But when Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and then he prayed the kind of prayer that moves God. See, he told God, he said, look, of a truth, they did all those things to those nations and they cast their gods into the fire. But those people were no gods, but you are the very God that sitteth between the cherubims. Hallelujah. Now, when you pray that kind of prayer, I've told you multiple times in this room, when you know how to make it God's fight, when you know how to make his name, put his name at stake for his reputation, that's praising the Lord. So he knew how to do that. Now, listen to this subject. And I can go on and on about examples in the Bible, but I want to read you this out of this writing. Powerful stuff. In fact, as you soak it in, I'm going to read it slowly so you can soak it in. scroll number 70, written by Neil Frisbee many years ago. You know, many years ago. These things were written in the 70s, many years ago. This is a dynamic subject of praise. It is the rewarder of youth. It is the secret place of thunder, wherein the Lord answers back. Psalm 81 and verse 7 says, look, when you call upon me, that's right, the Lord said he's got a way that he can thunder back. But you got to know how to do it right. You know, it's not everybody. I showed you yesterday how David knew how to get God to thunder back when he prayed. But it was through his praises. Not everybody's prayer can make God do that. But he said, you called upon me in trouble, and I delivered thee, and I answered thee at the secret place of thunder. Now, praising the Lord is on this subject that we are in here. By praising him, you will receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul, giving you a healthy body. Praise will drive out infirm spirits and losing the bones. Heart trouble will not overcome you. And should you have it, it will leave you because of praising the Lord. Now, praising the Lord continually will make the heart to be happy, and your body will be joyful in health. Your eyes will sparkle, and your vision will be plainer. By eating lightly, ladies and gentlemen, you got to eat lightly. You can't be stuffing and overstuffing and surfeiting and drinking. That's not going to work. By eating lightly and praising the Lord will intensify these things even more. That's right. Let that soak in for a minute. Also, the dullness of ears shall hear sharply. He's talking about the benefits of praising, the dynamic subject of praise, all the things you can get out of praise. Dullness of ears will hear sharply. Even your complexion, your hair and your lips shall take on a beautiful glow. Well, and I love to say, you know, all the Avon cosmetics and everything, they can't touch this. Can't touch praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Praising the Lord will make your complexion calm. It will just glow. He's saying, wow. Even your eyes, lips, everything take on a beautiful glow. Praising the Lord in intervals will drive back all demon powers from you and give you rest. Hallelujah. By praising him often, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory, whether you can see it all the time or not, but you will begin to feel it by the glory of his presence. And demons cannot break through easily through this covering that's upon you as long as you know how to praise the Lord in confidence. Praising renews the youth. It renews your strength. It gives faith and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. Praise exalts the Most High, and he allows his Spirit to flow through, providing a ministry for each of us according as his Spirit wills it in our lives. Have you ever noticed that when you're praising the Lord, that's when the spirit of prophecy breaks forth? Absolutely. You know, it allows the Holy Spirit, your personal, even you yourself, I'm not talking of just when you are in congregation. Well, when you're in congregation and during worship, if you do it right, that's a spirit of praise will break forth. But even you, when you get into the praises of the Lord, even on your own, that's when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I know you know it. Praising the Lord will allow the Holy Spirit to move through you like that. Hallelujah. You know, and he says, look, even prosperity. Wow. I know most people love that. Prosperity is as close as your lips. if you know how to continually praise the Lord. And he says, and I love this one. This is like a punchline. No matter what confronts the person that knows how to praise the Lord, he will win. Glory to God. No matter what confronts you, if you know how to praise the Lord, you will win. Hallelujah. And he says, a kingly anointing will ever be present with you. It's like, I mean, he's like, you will be like a king because of praising the Lord. You know, David had written many psalms and he was still praising the Lord at the end of it. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He said that in Psalm 150 and 6. A person who has the high praises of God in his mouth shall receive knowledge and wisdom, guiding him in his daily affairs and giving him many spiritual highlights in his life. The one who knows how to humble himself in praising the Lord will be anointed above his fellows. He shall feel and walk like a king. Spiritually speaking, the ground underneath him will sing. Hallelujah. And there will be like a cloud of love that will engulf him. Isn't this beautiful? Glory to God. And I tell you, people have practiced this thing. They have experienced, including myself, many of these things that are written here. You know, that person will feel the Lord's hand. He's talking about a person that knows how to praise the Lord, like David. They will feel the Lord's hand on their back and on their head. And they will be comforted by the Most High. And he goes on to ask this question. Why are there such secrets in praise? Well, because that is why we were created, is to praise the Lord of hosts. That's why we were created. As a matter of fact, you can read the testimony of, you know, the people that are around the throne, the powers of heaven, the powers of the age to come. They're called the four living beasts. They're called the, you know, the cloud of witnesses. They're called the 24 elders. You can read their stories and their testimonies in the book of Revelation, you know, chapter 4. You know, all of these things and many other places, you know, they give their testimony of the reason why they even exist. That's what they said. The 24 elders, these are the cloud of witnesses, sat before him, Revelation 4 and verse 10, you know, worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's right. So, you know, that's the reason we were created, for his pleasure. And there's nothing that pleases him more than the praises of the Lord. You know, so he just soaks it in. And that's why there are so many secrets in praising the Lord. And people don't know it. And I want you to know it, you know. So if you can know it, if you know how to walk this praise along with your faith, there shall nothing stand before you in prayer. That's right. Walking the praises of the Lord along with your faith, my goodness, there will nothing be able to stand before you. The Lord loves the praises of his people. This is why we were created, for his pleasure and for his glory. All things were created, you know, for him. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. You know, thou art holy, O Lord, Psalm 22 and verse 3. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. According to Psalm 22 and verse 3, we're told that God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why there are so many secrets in praising the Lord. Now, continuing the scroll. The Lord did not create us to just continually ask for things. That is secondary. We were made to praise Him. Now, when we get into the rhythm of praise, we will feel the sweetness of His presence, and He will reveal even the most secret things unto us for days to follow. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, I have experienced this, you know, a lot of times, and a lot of people have experienced this. When you practice praising the Lord, you know, your life will be completely transformed. David said, by praising the Lord and by being patient, he was relieved of his troubles and his enemies were put to flight. Remember, you know, David, he knew how to praise the Lord, and he would say things like, you know, in Psalm 40 and verse 1, he would say things like, look, I waited patiently upon the Lord. You know, while he was waiting, he knew how to praise the Lord. He wasn't just waiting and complaining and grumbling. No, he spent his time telling God how great God was, you know, and how his right hand, his holy arm, and so forth. You know, how God is his, you know, shelter, his fortress, his high tower, his, I mean, he just tell God all these great things. And before you know it, the Lord stands up on his behalf. He knew how to praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, by praising him, David said, by praising the Lord, he said he was relieved of his troubles and his enemies were put to flight. Behold, saith the Lord. Now, this is a point blank prophecy from the Lord. The spirit of prophecy interjected his writing and he put it there. So he put it in the red. He said, behold, saith the Almighty, praise is the guardian of the soul and the protector of thy body. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Praise is the guardian of your soul and is the protector of your body. My goodness. By praising the Lord early in the morning and late in the evening, you will find that he will answer you and he will give you rest. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the psalmist said in Psalm 103. And forget not his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all. Now that's all. That's not some. That's all of my iniquities. And who healeth all my diseases. Now all is all. Healeth all my diseases as well. You know, forgiveth my iniquities. Healeth all my diseases. You know, redeemeth my life from destruction. My goodness. He satisfied my mouth with good things. He even causes me, you know, I mean, renews my youth and causes me to rise up, mount up with wings as eagles. My goodness. This guy, he knew how to praise the Lord. Now, listen to this. He said, look, by praising him, we see that even salvation occurs. See? And temptation departs from us. The Lord satisfies your mouth with good things. Your youth is renewed like eagles. Psalm 103 and verse 5. So you see, by praising the Lord, this I continue in the reading of his writing. So you see, by praising the Lord, you can renew your strength. You can renew your youth. And you can be lifted up like the eagle high in spirit. Now, listen to this. And you've heard, you may have heard, some of you may have heard me say this. I said it, you know, as recently as yesterday. When your days feel like the shadow that declineth, and you feel withered like the grass, praise him, and he will refresh you in the breeze of his spirit. Now, you know, some of our brethren that know the writings of this man of God, they have turned many of these things into songs. Someday I'll sing some of it for you. And some of you that are here may know some of these songs as well. I know you do. Now, this is one of them. When you your days feel like a shadow. And that's taken out of Psalm 102. I talked about it. When you feel like a pelican in the desert, an owl in the wilderness, you know, a sparrow on the top of the house. where you feel like a shadow grass that declining and all of these things. You know, David, many times he felt like that, but he knew how to bounce back through praising the Lord. That's right. Bouncing back through praising the Lord. When your days are declining, they feel like they're declining like a shadow. When you feel withered like the grass, when you feel like a pelican, you know, in the wilderness and an owl in the desert, according to all the things that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 102, then it is time for you to praise the Lord. Kick it into gear. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord will spread a cloud over you for a covering and fire to give you light in the night. And the enemies in the darkness, they shall not be able to enter into this Shekinah light that will be around you from praising the Lord. Now, David, he sang and he said, let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. In many places he said that. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise. Rejoice and sing praise all over the Psalms. David was always commanding that. I said to you the other day, and it's right here from this scroll. That's the reason why the Lord chose his throne, to sit around it. Because when we surround it, we'll be praising the Lord. Psalm 30 and verse 2 says, I cried unto you, Lord, and thou hast healed me. Now listen to this. By praising the Lord, you will enter into the center of his will for your life. He will guide you daily like the light of the sun, and in the night dark places as clear as the moon. He will lead you in new paths, and his revelations shall dwell in you along the way. Praising is the wine of the Spirit, revealing hidden revelations. You know, we put a song to that as well. Praising is the wine of the Spirit, revealing hidden revelations. Now, that's the only kind of wine we should be drinking, is praise. That's what he's saying here. It will illuminate your mind in understanding the Lord's purpose. Praising will also cause the horn of your ministry to be exalted in delivering even your friends and your relatives. Now, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Listen to this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the Holy Spirit, he dropped down when this man was writing this thing, and it gave a profound revelation of what that secret place is. And this is what he said. And that secret place is in praising the Lord and repeating his word. Hallelujah. Where do you think I learned all these things from? Praising the Lord and repeating his word. That's right. You know, you can't say otherwise. You can only say what the Lord has said, you know, in his word. That's why I cover the faith specs first. Then when you back that up with praising the Lord, it's a dynamic duo. I mean, it's like a volcanic power of spiritual, eruption that will happen. It'll take you into heights. Glory to God. And you get your answers. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You can read all of Psalm 91. And the way the spirit of prophecy brought it upon in this writing is that all those benefits that you get out of Psalm 91 is by praising the Lord and repeating his word. Because he goes on to explain at the very beginning that that secret place is in praising the Lord and repeating his word. So, and all those blessings that come from 91, you know, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, even he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then all the blessings that follow, and all the secrets and the blessings and the promises and so forth, all the protection and everything comes by knowing that the secret place is in praising the Lord and repeating his word. You will not be afraid for the terror that fly by day. You will not be afraid for arrows in the daytime, all these things, bullets, straight bullets, and all these things. It won't come near you. you know, 1,000 shall fall on thy side, 10,000 on this other side, and all of that shall not come near thee, because you've hidden yourself in the secret place of the Lord. Now, let's take a look at some of the benefits that praising the Lord, you say, you know, can bring to you. Turn with me to Psalm 91. Take a look at all of the promises that he said. The scriptures give us there about the, when we enter into his secret place, you know. I mean, you talk about the Lord being our shield, the Lord being our fortress, you know, the Lord being a hiding place, under his feathers will I trust, and on and on and on and on, you know. I mean, look at all the things he said there. You know, there shall no evil befall thee. There shall no plague come near our dwelling. You will not be afraid of this. You will not be afraid of that. 1,000 will fall this way, 10,000 the other way. Only with your eyes you see, hear of it on TV. It won't come near you. I mean, all these things that are written in Psalm 91, we call it out of praising the Lord and repeating his word. Well, let's see how the psalmist put it again in Psalm 56. Come with me in Psalm 56. Psalm 91 is a popular psalm that everybody knows, so I'm not going to, you know, I was going to read it, but, you know, I look up at time, well, you know, well, time is flying here, so I'll leave you to read that. You know that psalm, so you read it on your own. But let me read Psalm 56 and verse 10. You know, I want to, this is me interjecting my own into this scroll, you know, here. He said, look, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Yeah, that's like what, you know, Neil Frisby was explaining in this secret place. Say, the secret place is in praising the Lord and repeating his word. Well, the psalmist, he put it out here beautifully in Psalm 56 and verse 10. In God will I praise his word. So he put the praising and the word of God together. In the Lord will I praise his word. He said it twice. You know, so praising the Lord with his word, repeating his word in prayer, that's the secret, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the power of the secret place. Why is it secret? Because people don't know how to do it. You know, people just know how to give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. That's all we know how to ask the Lord. But if you really know how to get in the art of worship and praise, you know, he will even cause you to trample the devil under feet. He said, the lion, the young lion, the adder, all these things will you trample under feet. And at the end of it all, he said, you will have a long life and you will be satisfied. This is Psalm 91 and verse 16. Long life will I satisfy you. Now, all of these come out of a life of praising the Lord. Now, let me continue this reading. All of this, he said, simply for praising the Lord in earnest and joyfulness. Now, by praising the Lord, you will respect others and you will talk much less about them as the Lord delivers you in satisfaction. Now, many of us need that. Don't worry about other people. Praising the Lord will cause you to be wrapped up in God's essence. And you will talk less about other people. The Lord will deliver you in satisfaction. Now, one should read the Psalms daily and then add our own praise unto him. We covered this yesterday. The Lord said unto David that David was a man after his own heart, because David always sang and praised him, and he waited patiently upon the Lord. Now, listen to this. This is what I've said many times. The Lord chose this man's throne to set upon. He also chose to come through this man's loins later as the bright and morning star. He chose to come through the lineage of David as the Lion of Judah. The Lord whispered in the heavens that he was happy with the king. He rejoiced in his steadfastness. Even when there seemed to be no hope, this man David, he trusted in the Lord. The Lord chose to sit on David's throne because when we surround that throne, we will always be singing the praises of the Lord. David's going to make sure of that. You cannot be around David without praising the Lord. So the Lord chose David's throne because David is going to make sure that when we surround that throne, we're going to be praising the Lord. Now, you show me somebody that does not know how to praise the Lord, and I'll show you somebody that's not going to be around that David's throne, because you can't do it. David will make sure. That's why God chose that throne. Everybody around it will be praising the Lord. So if you don't know how to praise the Lord, you might not be around that throne. So let's get in the practice and the habit of praising the Lord. That's exactly right. Let's get in the habit of it. Now, that's why God chose David's throne, because we will all be singing the praises of the Lord when we surround it. Now, Psalm 34, which we read in the room yesterday. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 40 verse 1. The Lord, David said, he waited patiently on the Lord. I already read that to you today. And then Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and he will strengthen thy heart. And wait, I say, on the Lord. And when you are doing that waiting, let it be in praising the Lord. Not in complaining and whining and grumbling about anything. Do it in praising the Lord, and you will see a transformation that comes into your prayer life. A transformation that comes into your victory as well, because many things will begin to fall in line for you through praising the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It is even possible, he goes on in the writing, by praising the Lord, it is possible that one could have spiritual dreams. So if you praise the Lord a lot before you go to bed, you might have spiritual dreams. And if you praise the Lord a lot throughout the day, you might even have visions. Lord, take you into some, trances. You're knowing things to come. You can also be warned about trouble before it approaches. And the Lord will give you wisdom on how to avoid it. All of this by praising the Lord. Now, praise is life, he writes. And it prepares us for translative light and faith. Ooh, 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 ooh. My goodness. How does that happen? Well, let me explain that. He wrote it, but he didn't explain it. But let me explain it to you. This is how it happens. Because praise, right now, praise moves you into his presence. But we go in and out, in and out, in and out. Well, you go in and out enough times, it'll get easier for you to move into that presence. And all of that, the gateway to that is praise. The more you do it, the more you practice that, the easier it is for you to enter into his praise. The psalmist said, look, come into his presence with praise. He says it in Psalm 100. This is how you enter into his praise. So basically Psalm 100 is telling us that praise is the gateway, praise and thanksgiving. That's the gateway to God's presence. It's not exactly prayer, but it's praise. Now, praise is part of prayer, but the part of our prayer, that gets us really into his presence is praise. Listen to this in Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, that's like a key. And into his courts with praise. This is the thing that opens up the door for you to enter into his praise. So you practice it enough times, it's like preparing you for the translation. Because the translation is going to that's the ultimate in entering into his presence. So we can get glimpses of it now while he's changing us from glory to glory. You can practice his presence. By practicing the presence of the Lord, it's in praising the Lord and repeating his word. Hallelujah. When you are praising the Lord and repeating his word, it's like God actually speaking to you, because that's God's word that you are repeating. And you find out that many people do this too. When you are faced with a situation, you begin to repeat his word. The next thing you know, the spirit of prophecy will take over that word in your mouth. And it's like God speaking to you. But it works better when you are doing it in praising the Lord. Now, listen to this. The spirit of prayer is fine, but one should praise the Lord more often than just pray. Praising the Lord creates more faith. Now, that's why I called it the dynamic duo. These two things together, my goodness. Praising the Lord is a turbo boosting of your faith. That's what he's saying here. Say, praising the Lord creates more faith, and the answer is quicker in coming. And I've told you all those examples in the Bible. Praising is a dimension that is unknown by most. It is a dimension wherein the Lord whirls and stares, wherein the feeling of the Spirit occurs. And you know it too. When you really get into praising the Lord, you break forth into songs. Those songs at that time, they are singing and declaring the great magnitude of God's works, declaring the greatness of his work. That's what the tongues will be doing when you are praising the Lord. If you get somebody to interpret it, you'll see. And if you pray and the Lord opens your ears to understand it, you will define that you are declaring the incredible greatness of God. That's what, when you are in praising the Lord and tongues break out like that, that's what he's doing. Because it's to praise the Lord. Now, listen to this. He said that, you know, a group that is constantly praising the Lord will experience a revival. This will cause a revival to break forth around them. It will turn into a dimension of prophecy. I have experienced this when I was a young man. You know, and these days, I'm still waiting to experience it again because people are so distracted these days. We're not in the habit of praising God. Many people in our local church, even the praise segment and so forth is earlier in the service, and many people come late. That means they're not interested in praising the Lord. You know, the praise segment is finished and then they come. Well, how's that going to work? You know, it was when the people were in one accord to cause their voices in praise to be lifted up. That's when the cloud of the Lord appeared in the days of Solomon when they were building the temple. You know, so a group that knows how to praise the Lord like that, you know, this script says they will cause a revival. You know, I have known in a group when I was in a young man, when we began to praise the beauty of holiness so great. I mean, we're not even thinking about it, just praising the Lord. And people knew how to praise the Lord back in those days. My goodness. And then the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit, the cloud, the fire begin to come. And it captured, you know, many people will see it. So sometimes you can have it capture it on camera and so on, you know. And then when it does, the students begin to come all around the campus and begin to line up on the corridor outside the classroom, which had glass windows. They were looking inside. They didn't see the fire, but the fire was drawing them. Many of the people in the room saw the glowing tongues, the fire, the pillar of fire, the cloud, and different things. But they just continued to praise the Lord. And then the glory of the Lord began to draw these people. Because the Bible said the Gentiles shall come to thy rising. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It comes all from praising the Lord. The dimension of healing and miracles will begin to ignite under praises. Demons will cry out. And I saw that, you know, when people begin to praise the Lord, demons will cry out and they will flee. Fear and nervousness will travel from you as fast as light. You try it. When you're afraid, begin to praise the Lord and see what happens. You know, confidence will come in. Tongues and interpretation will take on a new dimension of realism, you know. Now, you yourself as an individual, not just in a congregation, you ever wondered what all those incredible things you're speaking in tongues are? They're not gibberish. Now, some people's tongues are gibberish. But, you know, the real tongues that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, they're not gibberish. And one day, if you praise the Lord enough, he'll open your ears. And my goodness, and you can, you know, if you understand how the great things they are declaring about God in those tongues, oh my goodness. Tongues and interpretation will take on a new dimension. Even in the congregation, if they know how to do it right, and it will strengthen that congregation. The gifts of wisdom and knowledge will run like a bubbling brook of water. Faith will leap forth as a fire in the field, driving troubles and diseases away. Discernment, you see, to understand and to see the workings of good angels, bad angels, demonic spirits, spirits that peep and mutter, You know, all of these things, the Holy Spirit begin to fine tune them through praises. Hallelujah. Now, he says, look, let our heart praise the Lord as the heart panted after the sweet water for our soul. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He liveth in us. Listen to this. Remember, I read it to you in Psalm 22 and verse 3. He liveth in us according to our praises. That's right. He inhabits the praises of his people. The dimension of your praise is a clear indication of how much capacity of God you have inside of you. Because he inhabits the praises of you. If your praises only fill a bottle, that's how much you have. If your praise can fill a barrel, that's how much God you have. Consider if your praise can fill a house and you have that much God. Praise him for what he has already done. You know, we put a song to that as well. Praise him for what he has already done. Important in the art of praise, or faith rather, important in the art of faith is praise and thanksgiving. That's why I call it the dynamic duo. There's two of them together. You know, enter this way into God's presence. The power, listen to this. And I sing this song all the time to myself. The power to move any object is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. Praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. The power to move any object is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. Many paths. I told you yesterday, you can spiritual songs. These are spiritual songs. You know, some people were blessed. Some of the people that received these writings of Nefrisby, they put many of them into spiritual songs. This one I just sang out of this one. It's a spiritual song. You can sing the scriptures, sing spiritual writings, make them into a song. Enter into this God's presence by praising the Lord. Praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. The power to move any object. Hallelujah. Now, I want that to soak in. Anything that you want to move, the power to move it is in the hands of those who have learned the secret of praise. That's written in the scroll. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a copy of this scroll, you know, I'm going to post it on our WhatsApp group and then you can download it for yourself. Powerful stuff. You know, now it says the power to move any object, is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. One must recognize his presence, which is around us all the time. But you will not begin to feel the strength of it until we enter in with true praise. Opening up all of our heart, then we will be able to see Jesus, as it were, face to face. Isn't that beautiful? Then you will be able also to hear the still small voice of the Spirit in making more precise decisions, whether it is your own spirit impressing you or whether it's the Lord's Spirit. You will also be able to tell, because sometimes your spirit will tell you things, sometimes it's the Lord's Spirit. But if you know how to praise the Lord and you exercise yourself in that, eventually your mind will be cultivated to become like the mind of Christ. For we have the mind of Christ, Paul said. A person who is even withdrawn, they'll be able to speak more outwardly for the Lord as they praise the Lord often. Hallelujah. Now, Exodus 33:11. You know, I've told you, read this many times. Say, look, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Well, there is a dimension, ladies and gentlemen, that we are entering into that is going to be even beyond face to face. Face to face. He's still, you are here and God is there, and, you know, face to face. And that's a good thing. Many people have not even experienced that, but we are going beyond that. We're going beyond a friendship. We're going to sonship. Sonship is I am a father, I won. And if you know how to do it right, praising the Lord, you know, he said, look, the Lord told Moses also, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Now, praise the Lord. And then he gave his own testimony here. I said, as for myself, I not only feel and see the presence of the Lord, I hear it almost daily. Now, there's another paragraph behind that. I will leave that alone because he talked about what he did in one particular meeting. How he read the Psalms and praised the Lord for a week. And the people said they'd never seen in history display of God's power. Well, I'll leave that alone. That was a testimony he gave. Now, I tell you what, you know, that praising the Lord, my goodness, if you know how to walk that with your faith, it will be a dynamo of spiritual power. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. Take faith and back it up, trouble boost it with your praise, and nothing shall be able to stand before you. Now, for your faith to walk right, it has to be based on the word of God. So I'm summarizing this lesson today. Your faith cannot be based on faith. You can't base faith on just believing. When I was a young man, I used to just believe God for anything. God was amused, but you know, he kind of honored it. I could just believe God for anything, you know, but later on, I got more perfected in the art of faith. I knew that it's not just my faith. It is faith in his word, you know, and as I begin to get better, my faith got sharper once I realized it wasn't just my faith, but it was faith in his word. It was his word that made the difference. If I were just having faith in faith, you know, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But when I put my faith in his word, then later on I learned that by praising him in his word, that's even more powerful. As the psalmist said, which I read to you, you know, that in God will I praise his word. So that's our lesson, ladies and gentlemen, today. Don't forget faith specs. I might come back in a couple of weeks or a week or tomorrow or the next day and ask you what specs mean. And I expect everybody, now many people have been in this room today that were not in my earlier rooms when I taught faith specs. Now you've heard it today. It's a condensed version. There's also a bigger version that's called the Principles of the Oracles of God. You know, but this is the condensed version, which is the essentials of faith, faith specs. Now, by practicing these things, you can develop yourself as a subject matter expert on faith. You say that's being arrogant. No, that's telling it like it is. you know, many of us train to be many things. Some of you are professionals in this room. You train to be many things in your profession and so forth. And you make no apologies about it, especially if you are, you know, if you are a professional, you know, then why should we make apologies about our faith? I make no apologies about my faith because I know how it works, you know, and I've spent years practicing this thing and knowing that it works. And this is the legacy that I've been trying to leave for my kids and for those that hear me teach, you know, faith, without it, you cannot please the Lord. But praise is what elevates that faith even more when you praise him in his word. Now, I am going to pray over the room. I'm going to leave it like that, you know, and then I'm going to open it up for testimonies and for shares and reactions. But I tell you what, I will post a copy of this writing on our WhatsApp group. And that's another benefit of the WhatsApp group. So if you want it, you can go and download it from there and read it yourself and digest it. Now, I read through all of that, you know, most of it. I read through that and you can see how powerful that thing is. There's such an anointing on there. It's almost like reading the Psalms. It's just so powerful. That scroll literally transformed my life. When I read it, I was already a man of faith. I've always been since I was a kid, really. But the day I came in contact with this writing, My goodness, I joined my faith with praising the Lord, and it just skyrocketed. You know, it's like, look, if you know how to do it just right, you know, you can get just about anything when you can enter into his presence with faith. By praising him often, you will be covered the bright Shekinah glory. It's right here in the scroll. It's another song we sing like that that says, by praising him often, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. Let us praise the Lord. Those are spiritual songs. You know, there are some great, great beloved brethren that put many of these songs, I mean, many of these words into song, not just this particular scroll, many of Brother Frisby's writing, and many scriptures and many songs and so forth, you know. And I sing these things often to myself and say, look, if I can praise the Lord often, I'll be covered with a bright Shekinah glory, whether I can see it or not. You know, angels can see it, but more importantly, devils can see it and they fear and tremble. Hallelujah. And they can't penetrate easy. It's like a cloud of glory around you. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for the lesson this day. Thank you for the room. Thank you for the lesson on faith, the lesson on praise. And if we can know how to put it together, we thank you, Lord, that we know it's going to transform our lives. I pray that the Lord give understanding to everyone that has heard and listened in today. And may it change our prayer life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.